And we are truly glad that you're here with us today. Every service, God is doing something, amen? So you never want to miss, because you never know what you might miss. I don't even know what's going to happen. I have kind of an idea, but whatever God wants, that's what's going to happen. I'm committed to be his mouthpiece and his servant. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. And we're going to begin there. Every month here at VCF, we have a theme. And the theme for August is called Sight and Sound. And really, we're talking about things that you hear and things that you see and how they affect your faith. They affect what you believe. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So as you're hearing the Word of God, faith is coming to your heart, all right? And then God will put a vision of what he put inside you. If God were to take a spiritual sonogram of what he's put inside you, would he see the right image? Would you have the right image formed on the inside of you? And so this week, we're going to talk about being committed to listening, watching, and finding life. You know, if you want to find life, true life, it's going to take commitment. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take devotion. All right? True life is available to everyone, but not everyone looks for it the same way. So we got to put a little effort into it. You know, if in order to get the greatest return on an investment, you've got to invest, don't you? And the more you invest, the more possibility there is to get a return. But the little you invest, your return is going to reflect your investment. So to get the greatest thing out of God, you've got to invest your whole self. All right, so Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Proverbs 8, 32 and through 36. The Bible says, "Now therefore, listen to me, O sons, for blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are those who keep my ways." So anytime the Bible says, listen to me, we ought to listen. And anytime he says, blessed are those, we ought to do what he's telling us to do to be blessed, right? He says, verse 33, "Hear instruction and be wise. Do not refuse or neglect it." So in order for instruction to benefit you, you've got to listen to it. And you've got to do it, right? Verse 34, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates." Well, watching has to do with what we see, doesn't it? "Waiting at the posts of my doors." The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Verse 35, "For whoever finds me finds life, and shall draw forth and obtain favor from the Lord." How many want life? How many want favor from the Lord? Well, he's given you the opportunity to find it. So come get it. Amen? And then verse 36. "But he who misses me or sins against me wrongs and injures himself. All who hate me love and court death." That means talking about wisdom. If you hate wisdom, you are courting death. So if someone wants to give you something from the Word of God, you should accept it. You should welcome it. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to listen. On August 1st, I talked about ways to improve your hearing and you're seeing. And if you want to listen to that, you can go online to our website and listen to it for free, or you can go see Mr. Les in the back and he'll make you a CD if you want. But I'd encourage you to get all the series. You know, we put our notes in the bulletin plus the series, the CD, and it'll really enhance your learning. And because I like to feed hungry people. And man, if you come over to my house for dinner, come with an appetite. Because I like to feed hungry people, and God does too. Those who are hungry, those are the ones who are going to get filled. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is talking here, and he says, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them," I'm reading from the Amplified, "obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock." How many would agree that in order to build a house, it takes commitment? It takes financial commitment. It takes commitment of time, energy. Amen? You've got to dig. You've got to get everything set up. And there's a great commitment in building a house. How committed are you to build a strong house? How committed are you to build? It's going to take some effort, some time, some investment of yours to build a house. Houses just don't appear. Foundations just don't happen. Normally you have to dig to establish a foundation. How big of a house you want to build will determine how dig you have, or how far you have to dig, or how deep you have to dig. The bigger the house, the deeper the foundation. Why? Why do you want a good foundation? You want to hurricane-proof your home. How many know that life can bring some hurricanes? Notice what he said. Verse 25. "The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house." Doesn't that sound like a hurricane to you? "But it did not fall." Say, "It did not fall." See, when you're building your spiritual home, you got to take God's word and you got to obey it. You got to practice it. You got to do it. The combination of hearing it and doing it will release the power of God, and it'll establish you in life. It'll storm-proof your life. Because we don't know when a tragedy may hit. We don't know. There's some friends of ours in Guyana. Their baby was gone after one day. A storm hit their home. A tragedy came. But see, building your house on the rock is not a guarantee that storms won't come, but it's a guarantee in how you will come after the storm, or where you will be after the storm. See, people who don't build their life on the rock, people who don't hear the word and obey it, storms are going to come and they're going to wipe them out. But people who take the time to dig a foundation in their spiritual life, you've got to dig in the word. You've got to build on the rock, which is Jesus. Jesus is the only sure foundation. He's the only rock of our salvation. He is the only chief cornerstone that will make you stormproof in life. But how committed are you to building that type of house? It requires commitment. You've got to be committed to listening, watching, and finding life. Notice verse 26. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them." You know, "Pastor, I don't know why things aren't working out. I'm hearing the word, I'm hearing it, I'm hearing it." Well, are you doing it? No. I know what the problem is. Who's talking here? Jesus. These are words from the Master. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon sand." I've never built a house, but I know that sand doesn't make a good foundation. Because I've been to the beach. I've built a sandcastle, only to have the water come in and wipe all my hard work away. My sand. castle disappeared. So you don't want to build your life on sand. Sand is someone who hears and doesn't do. They don't obey. They don't practice. They hear it, but they don't see it. See, you need to be able to hear it and see it together for the power of God to be released in your life. Verse 27. Notice, the same storm hit the house on the rock and the house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Humpty Dumpty can relate to this story, couldn't he? He had a great fall, and all the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I guess he was just a crackpot. And you know what? People realized that Jesus spoke with authority on these matters. You don't have an option but to build your house on the rock. That is, the Word of God is the rock. Okay? How much time and effort you invest into the Word will determine how many blessings you receive. Now, it has nothing to do with works. Let me just clear that up. All right? If I read 100 scriptures today, God's going to be pleased. No. God's not so much concerned about quantity as He is quality. It's the little passages of scripture that you read, you meditate, you memorize, you make it become a part of you, you digest it. You know, the minute you take a bite of pizza, that pizza is not digested. It has to go to your stomach, it has to be broken down, and it takes some time for it to be digested so it can be distributed to the rest of your body. So, how committed are you? Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. He says this in verse 21, James 1:21. In order for you to get, you know, when you build a foundation, you've got to dig, right? You can't put the dirt back in the foundation that you're digging, or it's going to be like, I keep throwing it out and it keeps coming back in. You've got to put the dirt in a different place, don't you? You've got to relocate the dirt. Notice what James says, verse 21. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. How much uncleanness should we get rid of? All. You shouldn't leave a spot or a wrinkle. And he says, and in humble spirit receive and welcome the word which is implanted in your hearts. You know, it's up to you whether or not you receive the Word of God. You control who comes into your heart or what comes into your heart. The Bible says that the eyes are the windows of your heart. All right? They're the windows to your soul. And when people cry, I like to say God's just doing some window cleaning. All right? But He's telling us here to get rid of the uncleanness and wickedness, all uncleanness, all right? And in order to do that, then we have to receive and welcome the Word. Receive and welcome. Some people just receive it, but they don't welcome it. You know, if someone were to come over your house and visit, you just say, oh, here, open the door, sit anywhere you want, you know, and not do anything else for them. Would they feel welcome? You know? No. You've got to make them feel welcome. How do you make the Word feel welcome? You serve the Word. You serve the Word. How do you serve the Word? Well, you converse with it. You talk with it. You listen to it. You know, you engage the Word. Amen? Verse 22. But obey the message, be doers of the Word, not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. You know, if you hear the Word and you don't do it, it's not going to work in your life. It will not work. I didn't say that. The Bible does. If all you do is hear the word and never do it, you are susceptible to deceiving yourself. You know, deceiving yourself is worse than being deceived by the devil. Because if you don't do it, you're going to forget it. How many of you have a driver's license? Do you have to remember to turn your turn signal on when you're turning? Do you have to remember to put your hands on 2 o'clock and or 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, whatever it is? No, you have driven so much that many things about driving become a habit. You have done it so much that the first knowledge you received in driver's ed, you know, love driver's ed. You're in the car with someone who's got a brake on the passenger side. It's dangerous. You got to learn all these rules. You got to take a test. And someone in my high school, they crashed the test car twice. We nicknamed him Crash. But see, driving for most of us becomes a habit. That's how the word needs to be to us. Our response has to be a habit from the word of God. Amen? That's when you know that it's really taken root, that you're hearing it and doing it. Let's go on. Verse 23. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it, he's a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in the mirror. He thoughtfully observes himself, then goes off promptly and forgets what he was like. You know, I bet some of you, I know I looked in the mirror today. Every mirror that I pass, I like to look into. Why? Because God made me beautiful. I just like admiring God's creation. But you know, if you just take a quick glance in the mirror and then walk away and forget what you look like, you become a forgetful hearer, not an active doer. But notice what he says in verse 25. You have to look carefully into the perfect law of liberty. Did you know that the Bible is the perfect law of liberty? If you truly want to know what freedom is, God gave us the perfect law of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You will never know the true level of freedom unless you know the Word of God. Because this is the perfect law of liberty. Notice you got to look carefully into it. Not just a glance. Oh yeah, okay. Now what did that say? Did you know that every day you face tests in life? Every day you face temptation. Every day you are tempted to turn away from the truth. God doesn't tempt anyone, but Satan does. Through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, every one of us face temptation. But the way to overcome temptation is to have the word in your heart. Psalm 119, I forget what verse it says, I have hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The only way to overcome temptation is to hide the word in your heart. And that requires you to look in the perfect law of liberty. Spend more time, not just, but gaze. Get it so it gets in you. Get in it so it gets in you. Look carefully into the perfect law of liberty. Being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer. Say, I'm an active doer. The only way to really experience the goodness of God is to be an active doer. Financially, the law of God says if you want to get, you must do what? Give. That's a law. In order for you to get, you got to give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Well, how come I don't have? Are you giving? Whatever it you give, that's what God's going to give you. You want more of God? Give him more of you. Give him more of you. So, we got to look into the law of liberty. We got to spend some time with it. We got to be committed to it. I don't know about you, but I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm not just a Sunday Christian or a Wednesday Christian. Did you know the word Christian has no day attached to it? It has a person attached to it. We're named after a person. And it is up to every individual to develop your personal relationship with the person of Christ Jesus. You've got to develop your own personal relationship with Him. Husbands and wives, you can have a relationship on your own and you get the benefit of having a relationship together. And if you have a family, you can have a family relationship with God. But every person of that family has to have their own relationship with God. You can't just rely on the group participation. You must know the Lord for yourself. Eternal life is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus whom He sent. So you ready to look into the perfect law of liberty? You got to look into the things of God. All right? Go with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And this I can say with confidence is a psalm of David. You know how sometimes you say in the psalm that David wrote, you know, he didn't write all the psalms? I've done that before. I say, oh, the psalm of David. And I look, oh, David didn't write that psalm. Oops. Look at Psalm 27. I want you to notice what David is saying. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He makes it personal, doesn't he? Whom shall I fear or dread? When you're looking into the light of God, when you're walking in the light, you don't have anybody to fear. You don't have anything. You don't have a spirit of fear. Amen? Fear is not in your genetic code. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The Lord is the refuge and the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, David spent some time dwelling in a cave. He was running from Saul. Do you think he ever knew the Lord as his refuge and his safe place? When Saul, his former employer, wanted to kill him, David would be typing a message, and he'd hear this thing whizzing by his head. It happened to be Saul's spear. You talk about a work environment that's hostile. When your boss is jealous of your success, Saul was jealous of David. You think David knew what it meant to have the Lord as a refuge? Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Were there any attacks you think that David might have had against him? What happened? He overcame them. Why? Because he was looking at the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's how he starts it off. Notice he didn't start off this psalm, woe is me, how am I going to get out of this mess? He starts off by saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why isn't your heart going to fear, David? Because he's continually looking and listening to the Lord. He's able to make these statements because of his relationship with the Lord. Even in this will I be confident. You know, how often do we lose our confidence when things come against us? You know, the Bible says, don't cast your confidence away. Verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. Everybody will hold up one thing. Aren't you glad David didn't say 10 things? You know, David's top 10 things of things he's going to seek in life. What was his one thing that he asked of the Lord that I will seek after, require that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life to behold and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? All David wanted to do for his whole life was to dwell in God's presence and to look at the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty, his holiness, his wonder, his awesomeness. David turned out okay. Even though David made a lot of mistakes along the way, he turned out okay. Do you realize that he had a promise from God that there's going to be a man on the throne of Israel from the line of David forever? Because Jesus is from the line of David. All David wanted to do, one thing, was to dwell in God's presence and to look upon the Lord. Shouldn't that be our focus? What is distracting you from the Lord? What's taking your eyes off Him? What's causing you to leave His presence, leave His goodness? Let's get back to the basics. You know what? Maybe you just need to pray, Lord, help me to remember the day I made you Savior in my life. And you know what? The Lord will show you. He'll bring back. Verse 5. In the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies. Round about me, that means He's not focused on His enemies. He's not looking at His enemies. Where he's looking to His rock, to the glory and the lifter of His head. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, have mercy and be gracious to me. Answer me. Did the Lord answer David? Yeah. Every time he was in trouble, whenever he cried out, the Lord answered him. Guess what God's going to do for you whenever you're in trouble? All you got to do is cry out and He'll answer you. Maybe He hasn't answered you because you haven't cried out. All right. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And once you listen to the Lord and once you look into His word, guess what? You got to continue. John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Only a disciple will continue. A conscientious observer will look a few times but won't continue. Only a disciple will truly, when the going gets tough, the disciples get going. Because a disciple has his mindset, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I'm going to keep pressing on, I'm going to keep going forward, I might make a mistake here, I might make a mistake here, but I'm going to continue to get up, I'm going to go on, I'm going to do what God has me to do. If you have that mindset, you're going to be okay. But how committed are you? That's the mindset of someone who's committed. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And verse 12, he says, but when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came out against you, you said to me, no, a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. I want you to notice something. Before this point, Israel didn't have a physical king. They didn't have a person as a king. But because they were looking to the other nations, they were looking to the nations, so they wanted what the nations had, even though that wasn't God's will for them. They were looking in the wrong place, getting the wrong advice, getting the wrong picture, hearing the wrong words, and that desire kept building. We want a king! We want a king! I want a king! I want a king! Even though God was their king, they weren't looking to Him. Verse 13. Now you see the king whom you have chosen and for whom you have asked. Behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Even though it wasn't God's perfect will for them to have a king, He gave it to them anyway. Be careful of your desires, because you don't see the end game. You don't see the end result that your desire will produce. Now notice. And verse 14. If you will revere and fear the Lord and serve him and hearken to his voice and not rebel against his commandment, if both you and your king, say both you and your king. Everybody has their own responsibility to follow the Lord. Then God, it will be well with you. If both you and your king follow the Lord, your God, it will be well with you. But if you will not hearken to the Lord's voice, but rebel against his commandment, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. So notice, they had to continue following the Lord. There's no time out. There's no rest break from following the Lord. Oh, I think I'm going to take today off from following the Lord. You know how much trouble you can get into by taking one day off from following the Lord? You know how far a plane will get off if it's off just 2 degrees from its destination? You don't think one day will cost you? Talk to David. One night with Bathsheba cost him his firstborn son, cost him his other sons. It cost him a lot. Don't give yourself one day off from following the Lord. If you're struggling, call some up. Say, I need help. Help me. Pray for me. Pray with me. Let's pray together. See, if you would just take the necessary steps to seek the Lord, then you can have the pressure and the problems that you're facing resolved. But the problem is people don't seek the Lord. They don't call for advice. They don't call up the people to pray with them. They're not honest. They're not honest with themselves. They try to put on this mask thinking that everything is okay, but it's not. And the Lord knows when everything is not okay, because there's nothing that we can hide from him. So you got to continue in what you hear. You've got to walk, you've got to live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. It's not once and done. Walking by faith means every day. You got to take one day at a time. Every day is filled with opportunities. Every day is filled with adversity. Every day is filled with choices. But if you're looking into the Word and listening to His voice, you're going to make the right choice. That's the key. Sometimes the kings got the people in trouble. Sometimes the people got the kings in trouble. When they both weren't following the Lord, see, to not follow the Lord is to rebel. Rebellion is a sin, or witchcraft is a sin of rebellion. Rebellion and witchcraft go hand in hand. You know, Saul, who was a king, he chose to not obey the Lord. He was told to kill all the Amalekites, right? A perfect, clear instruction from God. He comes back with King Agag and the best of the Amalekites. And he's flaunting around. He says, I did what God told me to do. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He did not do what God told him to do, but he was acting like he did. Amen. He was in rebellion. What happened that day? As he was walking away, or Samuel was walking away, he grabbed Samuel. Samuel's coat tore, and God said, just like this material tore, I'm tearing the kingdom away from you. That day cost him the anointing to be king. And from that moment on, an evil spirit came to him and tormented him. That was a costly decision. Listen, it's much easier to obey God, but it'll cost you a lot if you rebel. So don't rebel. Say, I'm not a rebel. Say, I'm an obedient child. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. See, so you got to listen to the Lord. You got to look to the Word. You got to look to the things of God, and you got to continue in them. You know, if you're not going to continue, it's easy to give up. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. If you want to quit, the devil will say, yes, he'll cheer you on to quit. He'll be your greatest cheerleader to have you quit. It takes some devotion and commitment and strong attitude to continue in the things of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. The Lord showed me this. He said, don't wait for God to impress you. You impress God with your faith and action. Too many people, they come to church, say, God, impress me. God doesn't have to impress you. But you have to impress him with your faith and your action. Oh, you know the story of the centurion? He said, Jesus, only say the word, and my servant shall be whole. What happened? He impressed Jesus with his faith, because the Bible said Jesus marveled. He said, I've not seen so great faith in all Israel. Too many people are waiting for God to impress them, but you need to have the attitude that you're going to impress God with your faith and acting in faith. The Syrophoenician woman, Matthew 15, she says, you know, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. First response, Jesus didn't even say anything to her. I came for prayer and Jesus didn't say anything to me. I think I'm going to quit. She didn't quit. Then his disciples said, send her away. She bothers us. Then she comes to Jesus again. She didn't quit. She said, and then he said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. He called her a dog. Oh, I can't believe that. But she didn't quit. She didn't quit. Finally, she got to the point where she began to worship him. Lord, worship. You know what? She went from zero faith to great faith in 5 seconds. She changed her attitude. And even though she went to him and she was rejected, she was not responded to, she kept coming. Guess what? She left with her daughter whole. From that very moment, her daughter was whole. Why? Because of her faith. She impressed God with her faith. God is impressed by faith. Your whining doesn't impress God. If you love whining, raise your hand. If whining doesn't impress you, why do you think it's going to impress God? You're made in his image and in his likeness. He doesn't put up with whining or complaining or woe is me. He doesn't put up with can't, I can't do that, even though he told you you can. If you don't believe me, talk with Moses. He lost his argument with God. What happened? Moses ended up going to Egypt and saying, let my people go, even though he was reluctant at first. So, don't wait for God to impress you. You impress God by acting in faith. You know, the Bible says, let me just take a minute here. Thank you, Lord. For the spirit of heaviness, you know, when you're feeling kind of heavy, like a burden's on your back, like you're weighted down, you know what God gives you for heaviness? He gives you the garment of praise. You know? It's like a garment that Elvis would wear. What happens? How do you feel if you put on a garment that Elvis put on? Whoo! Something would be going like this. Your leg would begin to shake like this. See, but for the spirit of heaviness, he gives you a garment of praise. So if you want the heaviness to go, you're going to have to praise. If you got heavy hands, the best way to release the heaviness is to lift them up. All right? If you don't believe me, Paul and Silas, midnight in jail, they were in the pit, the dungeon. They were in chains. What'd they do? They got someone delivered. They cast a demon out of a girl and they were put in prison for it. But at the midnight hour, What happened? They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They began to praise. They began, and the other prisoners heard their voice, so they weren't silent. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, they were loud in their praise. What happened? They impressed God because God got so impressed, he was stomping his feet and made the jail shake. Yeah. They had the first jailhouse rock. I don't know why I'm on the Elvis kick today. It's not in my notes. I can show you. But see, if you want to get rid of heaviness, you got to praise. It's you offering to the Lord a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips giving thanks. If you want to change your situation, change your response. Romans 11, verse 22. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. You know that there's two sides to God? His grace and his judgment. His righteousness and his judgment. Severity toward those who have fallen. But God's gracious kindness to you. Amplified says that is to you, provided you continue in his grace. Did you know that grace is not a license to sin? Look at me. I've got a license to sin called grace. Uh-uh. Just because God gives you grace doesn't mean you can go out and do whatever you want to do. It means now, grace means that you are entitled to live like the King, to follow his example, to live after him, to live for him. All right? Okay? And verse 23. And even those others, the fallen branches or Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, notice they've got to quit clinging to their unbelief. Oh, this is my unbelief. I love my unbelief so much. God is offering you something greater. Would you give me your unbelief? No, this is my unbelief. Do you know what Jesus did when he went to pray for people? He would put the unbelievers and the doubters out. If he can put them out, so can we. You got to put the thoughts of doubt and unbelief out of your mind, out of your mouth, and out of your actions. How do you put it out of your actions? In worship, you ought to be free. You ought to be so free that you could even dance in church. Dance in church? Why not? Maybe we need some people to dance in church. You know, it only takes a spark to start a fire. Lord, please don't let me be that spark. Don't let me be that spark. Verse 24. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? But in order to do that, they got to get rid of their unbelief. You know that when Jesus comes back again, so many Jews are going to say, wow, I believe, because that's what they're looking for. But they could just as well believe now. See, if you're seeking a sign, Jesus said something about people who seek a sign. He called them wicked and evil generation. They seek after a sign. You ought to be seeking him, not a sign. That's the difference. Your heart ought to be towards him and not a sign. Okay? Go with me to Psalm 1:1. Finally, you need to commit wholeheartedly. God is looking for a few good men and women who will lay it all on the line. Are you a person that will lay it all on the line? You will put your whole self into the things of God. You will give up your way and take on God's way. Jesus' 12 disciples. Some were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. Some were zealots. You know, they probably rode in camels with lightning bolts on their arms, you know. They were called sons of thunder. You don't get that nickname for being nicey-nicey. They were kind of rough, weren't they? But yet, as they continued with Jesus, they were transformed into mighty ministers of God. One named Judas did not continue. Even though for 3 years he saw the miracles, he heard the teachings, he saw how Jesus lived and operated, but he did not continue. He killed himself. Psalm 1:1. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Say, I'm enviable. Say, I'm prosperous. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm fortunate. This is what God wants for you. Who is that person who is all that? Is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly? Let me just take a moment right there. If you're getting your counsel from the ungodly, you're not going to make good godly decisions. Notice, he tells us not to walk or live in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. Did you know that the world system is against and contrary to God's kingdom? They're different. The world loves darkness, but the kingdom is about light. And you got to have a kingdom mentality. So if you're taking your advice from the world system, you're going to be led astray. Nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. There's no resistance. When people use the name of the Lord in vain, you say nothing. You know what? If they're going to use the name of the Lord in vain, you ought to be able to praise the name of Jesus. If someone says a curse word, you ought to be able to say, praise the Lord God Almighty. I guarantee you they won't curse as much. But the reason that they have free reign is because there's no resistance. You're allowing them to walk. Did you know that everywhere you walk, you can take authority? You could be in the most ungodly environment on your job, but when you get there, the atmosphere can change. It did with Jesus. Everywhere he went. See, but you got to take authority. Nor sit down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather. Those who belittle the things of God, don't hang around with people who belittle the things of God. God is great. God is mighty. He's not to be belittled or mocked. All those people were yelling at Jesus on the cross, crucify him, crucify him. They were inspired by an evil spirit. How do you stand against mocking? You speak the truth in love. When someone wants to belittle God, you do like David did. You come at me with that, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. Goliath tried to mock Israel, but David won the war of words. See, when you speak, you don't even have to get angry. You can just speak the truth in love, and the truth has the power with it. And man, you just speak it confidently. So you're not to sit with the seat of the scornful. You're not to take ungodly counsel. Some of you just need to, you know, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Sometimes if you're facing a decision and you don't know what to do, you know what? You have a pastor here that will give you godly counsel. Doesn't mean I know everything, but I'll tell you what the word says, and then you make the decision. But if I don't know you're struggling, you know, I'm not a mind reader. I can't read your mind. Because why didn't God give us the ability to read minds? Because he's given you the responsibility to respond. See, part of calling someone when you're struggling, that's an act of faith. But see, the devil wants to keep you to yourself, by yourself. So he'll tell you, oh, don't call this person, don't call him. They're too busy. They're not going to hear it. Just don't call that. He tries to get you by himself. He's a dirty, filthy liar, the devil. Now, verse 2. Notice, if you want to be blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable, and prosperous. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts, instructions, teachings of God, he habitually meditates. Do you have a habit of meditating in the Word? Pondering, studying. Well, I don't have time. Really? You mean 24 hours in a day are taken up with other things that you have no time to meditate in the Word of God? I highly doubt it. You need to reorganize your priorities. Amen. Otherwise, you're letting the world and everything else dictate. You know, one minister wrote a book called Kids CEO, where the kids' activities were governing what the family does and where the family goes. You know, I see more and more sports teams locally playing on a Sunday. How did that come about? There's more sports things going on than there are for the kingdom. We have elevated sports. Now, sports aren't bad, okay? I like sports. I'm just saying, though, if it gets too much, if we put it above God, then it becomes a problem. You got to put God first. And if it doesn't line up with God's plan for that time, then guess what? Guess what gets disregarded? God's plan comes first. Okay? But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, precepts, instructions, teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. Everybody say day and night.
Day and night.
And he shall be like a tree, firmly planted by the streams of water. You know, when you plant a tree, it doesn't produce fruit the next week. It takes some time to produce fruit, but too many people want to uproot themselves when the Lord has planted them. The Lord does the planting, and if you stay where you're planted, then you'll produce the fruit that's necessary. But if you try to uproot your planting, you'll never produce fruit. Sometimes we think that if I just change my situation, things will get better. But the problem is not the situation, the problem is the heart. So you're trying to make outward amends without changing anything on the inside, and you're always going to take the same problem with you. Because the problem is not the circumstance, the problem is the heart, our attitude. And just because you change circumstances is not going to change the attitude. You got to make a conscious decision to change your attitude. Then your circumstances will change. Because if you move without God, then you're going to have to sustain yourself. So you got to commit wholeheartedly. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. I hope this is helping you today. Or, I'm sorry, 31. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 21. Notice what it says about Hezekiah. Well, let's look at verse 20. Hezekiah did this throughout all Judah. He did what was good, right, and faithful before the Lord his God. Who did he do what was right for? For the Lord. And every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in keeping with the law of the commandments, to seek his God, inquiring of and yearning for him, he did with all his heart and prospered. So what happens if you do something with not all your heart? You're not going to prosper. Amen? Your whole heart has to be involved. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verses 1 through 12. Blessed is the man, there's that word again, are the undefiled, the upright, the truly sincere and blameless in the way of the revealed will of God, who walk, that is, order their conduct and conversation in the whole of God's revealed will and the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies, who seek, inquire for, and of him, crave him with the whole heart. Are you craving God? Do you have a craving for God that consumes your whole heart? You gotta have him. You gotta hear him. You gotta speak with him. You gotta worship him. It's a craving. What do you do with a craving? When you got a hankering for some fried chicken, what do? You go get it or you make it. What do you want, dear? You know what? I just got a craving for some chicken. Let's go get some chicken. See, that craving causes you to move to meet that desire. And we've got to have a craving for the things of God. I crave worship. I crave fellowship. I crave teaching. I crave praise. I crave serving. Oh, if we get some people craving serving, you know, we ought to have a serving competition. Who can outserve others? Did you know that the greatest in God's kingdom are the ones who serve the most? You look around and you see the ones who are the greatest in the kingdom. They're the ones who serve the most. That's what Jesus said. Okay? Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. I love the Amplified. Then shall I not be put to shame. See, you're not put to shame when you have that kind of craving and you go after the Lord. When I have respect to all your commandments, verse 7, I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned your righteous judgments, your decisions against and punishments for particular lines of thought and conduct, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Verse 9. By taking heed and keeping watch on himself, according to your word, conforming his life to it. Then verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought you. Can we say honestly that we've sought God with all our heart? Or are there some areas in your heart where you're really not seeking God? With your whole heart. He said, oh, let me not wander or step aside from your commandments. You know, anytime that we move away from God, it's not God that moves, it's us that move. God is steadfast. Amen? So if there's any moving, it's on our part. If there's any moving back, guess who's got to move? We do. God'll welcome you with open arms, but he leaves the moving to you. So are you committed to listening, watching, and finding life? Listen to me. Hearken to me, the Bible said in Proverbs 8. Watch for me daily, waiting for me at the gate. Those are the ones that are really going to find life. So if you're watching, you're waiting, and you're listening, those are all actions. It's time for you to act on the word. Amen. Father, I just give you thanks and praise today for the word of God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for confirming your word with signs following, for dealing with the hearts and our commitment level. See, what I'm really dealing with today is your personal level of commitment. I think we just all need to renew our commitment to the Lord. Why don't you stand up with me? Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart that God's power is here. Why? Because I've preached His word. And He always shows up where His word is. So His power is here to touch your heart. But the question is, will you invite Him in? He'll never force His way. God doesn't budge His way in. He comes by way of invitation. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Is there anybody here that would simply say with their raised hand that I've never invited Jesus into my heart to be Lord over my life? Because if there's any preaching, it's about getting people saved. That's the greatest miracle. That's the most awesome work that God has done. He shed His blood on the cross so that we could be saved from sin, so that we could be forgiven. You know, I want you to know that God loves you, He's forgiven you, and He wants to get to know you better. He wants you to get to know Him better. And is there anyone that would say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I've never asked Him to be my personal Lord and Savior. I've never invited Him into my heart. Is there anybody here today that would say that? You're not born again. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to come to know the Lord. Amen, because this is what it's all about. I want you to say this with me, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to You to renew my commitment, to declare my love for You, to praise Your holy name, to say how awesome You are. I humble myself under Your mighty hand. I give You my all. I will not hold back in any area of my life, in my worship, in my walk, in my fellowship, in my giving, in my serving, in my living for You. Today, I give You my all. I lay it on Your altar. Use me in Your kingdom to make a difference in someone else's life. Help me to be a vessel. Speak through me. Touch through me. Love through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're also a church. We believe in laying hands on the sick. If you're sick in your body, we want to lay hands on you, because the Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. And if you need power in your life to live for God, He said that He'll give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. If you want to be healed in your body, you can come on up and be healed. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can come on up and be filled. So Father, right now, I just thank You for moving in our midst. Lord, thank You for manifesting Your glory and Your power, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we give You thanks and praise. If you're here and you need to be healed in your body, or you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to give you that opportunity. Is there anyone that would say, I need to be healed, or I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? We want to give you that opportunity to come and receive. Amen? Now, how many will actually put what you've heard today in practice? God sees all your hands. And He knows your heart. So your responsibility then is to carry it out and to just do it. Amen? And you know what? If you fall and miss it tomorrow, just get up. Just repent, ask the Lord to forgive, and go on. Amen? Listen, God loves you so much. He's got such great plans for you. And we're just here to help you discover your inheritance and your purpose, and to help you appropriate it or make it a reality in your life. That's what God uses us to do. And for those of you that's never utilized us as a resource, you're missing out. If you're going through something in life and you need help, Pastor Fiona and I, we're here to help you. Come here, my love. Because you know what? We love people. And no matter what happens, we're not going to stop loving people. And we love each and every one of you. We love the opportunity to serve this body. Amen. To feed the sheep. Because, listen, just you'll never regret giving your all to God. I don't. 29 years later, I don't regret giving my all to God. You'll never regret it. Some of you just need to make some little adjustments in the way you think and the way you speak. You know, just changing your words will make a big difference. Speaking what God said will cause His power to come to you. Does anybody else have anything? Father, thank you that you cause your face to shine on these. Father, bless them, give them peace, and expand their territory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great day. Take some time and fellowship with the body.